Well, last week we focused on Elizabeth, and we talked about this elderly, elderly pastor's wife. Does that make her sound old? I thought it was kind of nice the way Zacharias said, "I'm old and my wife is well stricken in years." So maybe he was being a little bit kind about his wife when he said, you know, "I'm old, but she's been affected by years." As opposed to saying, "My wife is old," which would have been, I think, more derogatory. But last week we talked about Elizabeth and we focused on her shame and that God is the answer to shame. This morning we're going to talk about Mary, and I've taken from my text the verse 45 where Elizabeth says about Mary, "Blessed is she who believed." The Roman Catholic Church has deified Mary. They have granted Mary, as of 1959, an immaculate conception. And by that, they do not mean that Mary's child, Christ, was immaculately conceived, but they believe that Mary herself was immaculate in her conception, and that Mary herself was sinless. And they have exalted Mary as a mediatrix or a mediator, an intercessor between God and man. Many pray to Mary and then ask Mary to relay those prayers to God, as if Mary would have a special impact with God. Our last pope was a strong Mariolatry pusher, Pope John Paul, a man that has accomplished many good things in our world. And yet this theology that he pushed of the worship of Mary and trying to exalt Mary to a position of equality with God is not founded in the Word of God. In the Word of God, we never find a place, and I'm not trying to run down people this morning or run down an institution, except to say this, that when we look at these kind of things, we must compare them to the Word of God. And in the Word of God, Mary nor anyone else ever makes claim for her sinlessness. No place in the Word of God does it ever equate Mary with God. Mary was a good girl. Mary was a humble Jewess who was of David's royal line. She and Joseph could have been part of royalty. There hadn't been David's line on the throne for hundreds of years. But Mary was of royal blood, but it really didn't matter that she was like me saying, "I'm German, so what," you know? She was of royal blood, of little consequence in their culture, I should say that way. But as a Jewess, believing in the Messiah, believing in the things that she'd been taught, knowing of her heritage, I'm sure she prayed that God, like Zechariah was praying in the temple, that God would deliver them from the Romans, deliver them from their oppressors. I'm sure she was taught that God would send a Messiah and that this Messiah would bring Israel back to the glory days of David and Solomon, that this Messiah would be their king, would be their God. I'm sure she prayed about the coming of Messiah. Every woman from Eve on rejoiced in the idea that someday there would be a Messiah and that maybe they would be the one chosen. But Mary, this faithful girl, was confronted with an incredible thing. As Beth tried to portray her heart, and we don't know what Mary was thinking that day, here comes this angel, wham, into the room, and says, "You're going to have a child, though you be a virgin." And the Greek word here, translated virgin, means virgin. And you are going to be the mother of the Messiah, the God. And to believe that is an incredible thing. I mean, in our culture today, a virgin has a child, right? Well, it was just as incredible 2,000 years ago. And this is the crux of Christianity. Do you believe this? And Mary was confronted with this. Here's this startling, amazing fact. You are going to conceive, though you've never been with a man, and you will have a child. And Mary's response was belief. And this is what I want to focus on this morning. This idea of belief. Of course she was troubled. Of course she was upset. But she believed. She accepted this. What is belief, and what does it mean to believe? When I first started preaching, talking about salvation was my most scary subject. You know, if I was going to talk about anything else, I would be more at home than talking about salvation. I didn't want to botch it up. And when you talk about salvation, when you talk about belief, it's an internal thing. It's a little bit abstract, is it not? She believed. Well, what does that mean? And I still tremble a little bit when I wade into the topic of belief and acceptance and faith, because it is a very personal thing. And what is the moment of belief, and what does it mean to believe? Perhaps you're sitting here this morning, and if I was to ask you, do you believe? And maybe the obvious answer to that is, believe what? Well, but do you believe? Are you a believer? Well, this morning maybe we can help define that by looking at Mary. I think because Elizabeth said, she who believed, and we see some things in the text that tell us of Mary's response. Perhaps we can this morning look at Mary's response to things that happened to her and to what she was told, and maybe that will help us define what belief is. What is belief? I believe, number one this morning, Mary believed when she submitted to God's word. Belief is submission to the word of God. Look with me at verse 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." She put herself in a position of acceptance of servanthood. "Let it be to me according to your word." She believed God's word. Here the angel said, "This is what happened." And Mary believed. She accepted the word of God in her life. This was a traumatic and life-changing event. Mary had a right to ask questions. It was natural for her to wonder. It was natural for her to question. You know, one thing I've kind of wondered as I read Luke chapter 1, Zacharias wondered and asked questions, and the angel responded to him by making him mute for the next several months. It was almost like he got a punishment. Although it was a sign, he got a punishment. Mary asks questions. She gets answers. No rebuke, no mute for the next several months. Of course, that would be very difficult to make a young lady mute. I mean, that would be harder maybe than a little, anyway. But why? I think maybe Zacharias was rebuked more because he was an elderly priest and he should have accepted what God was saying faster. But here's this lady, this young woman, presented with a life-changing circumstance. And it's the word of God saying to her, this is going to be true. And she submitted. Belief is submission to God's word. You know, God's word speaks of many things. And belief concerning those many things is submitting to them. God has directed us concerning salvation. There's things that God's word says about you. The word of God says that we're all sinners. The word of God says that every single one of us is a child of Adam. And as a child of Adam, we have inherited a genetic code that is tainted, that is depraved. Just like there are certain things that I got from my mom and dad, my size, my baldness, my natural nearsightedness. I found out this week that I had all these years a slight astigmatism in one of my eyes. I was wondering, you know, how Zeke got his astigmatism. Well, my mom had astigmatism. So, you know, mom had astigmatism. I have had a slight one that I didn't know about that is now corrected. Zeke has one. You know, what's with that? Well, it's genetic. It came that way. And the Bible says that every single one of us is a sinner. You don't have to sin to become a sinner. You are a sinner on your way to hell. It's your family name. Because you are Adam's, and the word of God says this, that every single one of us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not something you have to do. It's not something you have to earn. It's not something you buy. It's what you are. We are sinners because we are children of Adam. And the word of God says this. The word of God says that Jesus Christ came to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish. He gave his son. God sent Jesus Christ to be born of a woman, to be born in a faultless life, to live a faultless life, to be sinless, to be sacrificed, to bleed and die on Calvary's cross for our sins, that he might be our intercessor, that he might be our grace, that he might be our gift from God. Do we believe? That's the answer. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe that you are a sinner because of Adam? That you are a sinner because of your inherited qualities, because of what you got from your dad? That you are a sinner and that Jesus Christ has died on Calvary's cross from your sins? And that by accepting this, by taking this, by receiving this, you can have eternal life? Do you believe God's word concerning your salvation? That's what belief is. It's submitting, it's obeying the word of God. But you know, we also need to believe God's word concerning sanctification, concerning our growth, concerning our day-by-day life. The word of God speaks of many issues. What do we do with these issues? Do we accept them? Do we believe them? Do we obey them? What is belief? Belief is submission. It's bowing your heart and your will. And Mary believed when she submitted to the word of God. Number two this morning, Mary believed when she accepted God's actions in her life. Verses 47 to 55 are sometimes called the Magnificat. And they get that term in the church from the Latin rendering of verse 46 when Mary says, "My soul does magnify the Lord." And so sometimes in church circles and in liturgical circles, they'll say the Magnificat. And when they say that, they're referring to these verses here, verses 47 to 55. And here, Mary turns her heart to the Lord and praises the Lord. But I'd like to show you here, or like us to see, that Mary accepted God. She accepted what God was doing in his life, her life. Look down at verse 49, and there it says, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." Wait a minute, Mary. You had these plans, you had this life, you were betrothed to Joseph, and now you're expecting a child, and you say, "God is doing something great in my life." She didn't say, "God has messed up my life." She didn't say, "God is doing something strange to me." No, she said, "God is doing something great in my life." She accepted it. She took what God was doing. And you know what? We all get a different set of circumstances. God gives us an earthly father, an earthly mother, brothers, sisters, jobs, tools. And God has given you these things. Now, what are you going to do with them? Do you accept God and his working in your life? The events that he has allowed? Are you going to accept God and trust God? Are you going to accept him? This is what belief entails, that accepting God. Here's this idea again, that I was born a sinner. Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for my sins. Do I accept what God has said about me? Do I accept what Jesus Christ has done for me? Do I own this? Do I take it? Do I buy it? Do I wear it like a ring? Do I write it like my name? Do I say, "Yes, I believe, I accept this for me"? When a woman first gets married, sometimes it's a little hard to remember that your name has changed. We hadn't been married too terribly long, and Linda filled out her passport, and in the nervousness of signing her name on such an official document, she put Linda M. Murray. Uh-oh, now what do I do? Oh, don't worry, just, you know, write Leeds there too. So at one point, her passport, Linda Murray Leeds. But no, it's owning who you are. It's saying, this is me. Are we willing to accept God and that we would own him, take him to be ours? That we would want to identify with him, to accept, bring him in? I would propose to you that not everyone thought it was wonderful that Mary would run off and go to Elizabeth's place. Joseph was deeply troubled about these things, Matthew chapter 1, and we'll talk about Joseph in a couple of weeks. Mary would have practiced unbelief if she would have focused on herself, if she would in her heart have risen up her own goals and said, "No, I don't like what's going on. I'm not going to accept these things." Doubt would have said, "God's timing was bad. God's choices are bad." And you know, think about it. Why did God wait until after she was betrothed to Joseph to cause her to conceive? And to ask God these things is natural, but belief goes beyond the asking and accepts. Belief says, "Yes, this is what God has done, and I take it, I embrace it, I'm willing to wear this." Mary believed that God had done great things for us. We accept that God has created us. Your little bullets underneath there. We should accept that we are created, that God made us, and therefore he has certain rights on us. That he sees us, secondly, that he sees us, that he loves us. Look what she says in verse 48. "He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant." Mary acknowledged, accepted the fact that God saw her condition as a teenage young Jewish girl and now expecting and what that would do to her culture and any troubles that she had at his words, she accepted. She says, "This God, he sees me and he loves me. He knows who I am. He has my address. God I accept, I take this. This was belief to accept these things, that he saves, that he creates, that he sees, that he loves, that he saves us. What is belief? Belief is submission. Belief is acceptance. And thirdly, this morning, Mary believed when she trusted God for her future. Several of the things that Mary says, first that the angel said in verses 32 and 33, he shall be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is millennial. It has yet to happen. We believe it's going to happen yet, that Jesus Christ will reign on Israel's throne, and he will reign over the whole world. Mary responds and agrees with the angel as she quotes Old Testament passages. Mary here had a good understanding of the scripture as she refers back to Old Testament places where she says, he has shown his mercy on those who fear him. I'm reading from verse 50 and following, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers. She's looking for this time to come yet, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Mary trusted God for the future, for eternity. She trusted that what God's plan was for Israel, she could accept. And that was part of, again, her belief was trusting God. Her belief was trusting God for her, even her tomorrow. The angel said, you know, Elizabeth is along for a few months. Why don't you go see Elizabeth? Okay, Mary did it. She trusted God. She left her hometown, left her betrothed Joseph behind. I wonder if she thought, you know, will I go back? Will I see Joseph again? What is God doing here? You know, here I am betrothed. I'm to be engaged. Dear Joseph is working on my house, on our house. There's plans in place. Can you imagine? Here's this girl who's supposed to be planning the last stage of her wedding. I mean, she's already gone through a couple stages of her wedding. She's planning this last stage of her wedding, and all of a sudden she leaves town. I mean, there's not only speculation, but there's a lot of questioning of, hey, you know, what's going on here, Mary? And it had to be in Mary's heart. What will happen to me? Can I ever come home? If I do this, if I run away to go see Cousin Elizabeth at this time in my life, will I ever be able to come home? And what will Joseph? But she trusted. She accepted. She submitted. She trusted. She said, you know, God, you've got this figured out. I'm going to have to go with you on this one. She trusted what God was doing in her life. What is belief? It is submission. It is acceptance. It is trust. And this morning, I asked the question, do you believe? And there's two parts to this. The first part is, do you believe for salvation? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? What is belief? It is submission. It's saying, God, I acknowledge that your word is mighty and I am ignorant. I acknowledge that your word is eternal and I'm temporal. I'm for this time. I acknowledge that your word is true. I submit to your word, and I'm going to believe that your word says that I'm a sinner and that Jesus Christ is my only Savior. Will you submit to that? It's acceptance. Belief is acceptance, and have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you come to a time in your life when you've said, as a decision of your will, I choose God. I choose what Jesus Christ has done for me. I own this. I take this like a girl taking the name of her husband. Like putting on a piece of jewelry, like putting on a coat. I choose to put on God. I choose to wear God. I choose to accept Jesus Christ. That is belief. Submission to the word of God, acceptance of God, and trust. God, my future, it's in your hands. This is what belief is. And my first question this morning is to you, do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus Christ for your salvation? Have you submitted? Have you accepted? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? But it's more than just for salvation. It's for life. Maybe there's an issue this morning that's in your heart and in your soul. Maybe it has to do with a relationship. Maybe it has to do with a spiritual struggle that you're having. Maybe it has to do with a temptation, a sin in your life. Do you believe? Are you willing to submit to the Word of God? Are you willing to accept God in this? Are you willing to trust God in this? Are you willing to submit to God's parameters in your relationship? Are you willing to are you willing to accept God, that God is good in whatever's going on in this relationship? Are you willing to trust God for your future in this relationship? You see, if not, then you haven't really believed, now have you? And you could apply this three-point step to your finances, to the rearing of your children, to your relationship with your husband or wife, to a struggle that you're having, to a temptation that you're having. Maybe I'll throw the issue of men's thoughts out here. Have you submitted to the Word of God that God would have our mind to be pure? Are you willing to accept God in this? That you're willing to bring God into that part of your life where you struggle, that be it a lust? Are you willing to own God and bring Him into that? Are you willing to trust God for your future, that God's way is the best way? You see, someone who is enslaved with a wicked thought process really hasn't trusted God, hasn't really accepted, isn't trying to obey, and doesn't believe. You say Christians can be unbelievers? Yes, that's what we learned in Hebrews 3 and 4, that our behavior can show that we are not believers in these areas, even if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Do you believe? Do you believe? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's entry level. That's Christianity 101. Have you taken His payment for your sins? Have you submitted to the Word of God? Do you accept the person of God? Do you trust God for your future, for what's going on in your life? Do you believe? Do you believe?